start with 15 minutes of Torah Rosh Hashanah. We had skipped around. We're doing Siman Yud Beis. Siman Yud Beis is a beautiful piece about Beis HaKnesses, about Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. So last time we were discussing the notion of Mikdash Ma'at and the difference between Tashmishei Kedusha and Tashmishei Mitzvah. We pointed out that both the Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMikdash are a meeting place between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The difference is that in the Beis HaMikdash we're going to meet Hashem, and the Beis HaKnesses he's coming to meet us, meaning it's on our turf. And Rav Shachli used that to explain a number of the differences between the halachas of Beis HaMikdash and the halachas of Beis HaKnesses. But today we're going to focus on the similarities between the Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMikdash, and very, very practically, we're going to point out similarities in the way a shul is set up, similarities in terms of how we are noheg in a Beis HaKnesses, what we do, things that we do in a Beis HaKnesses. And we're going to have eight of each, eight similarities in terms of the way the shul is set up, and eight similarities in terms of what we do in a Beis HaKnesses that probably is a reflection of Beis HaMikdash. But as a background to that, Rav Shachter points out that the Stechemet quotes from a significant number of Achronim that included in the mitzvah Saseh Dar Raisa of building a Beis HaMikdash, which is a Pasuk Vasuli Mikdash, is also the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaKnesses. Meaning, when one builds a Beis HaKnesses, they are being Mekayim, a mitzvah of Binyan Mikdash. In general, when you're a member of a community, you have an obligation to participate in all communal needs. So if the community needs a mikvah, you have to build a mikvah. If the community needs a yeshiva, you have to build a yeshiva. And the entire community is responsible for all community needs. That's being kofen al tzarchei rabin. That's a general halacha. But specifically when it comes to a shul, there's a much more specific mitzvah of binyan mikdash, which is a mitzvah da'oraisa that one fulfills. And based on this, Rav Shachter explains the shita of the Tshuvas Tzemach Tzedek in Siman Tzadi Dalit. Tzemach Tzedek discusses the case where you have a community that has a small shul, and it's big enough for the small number of people that are in the community, and then the community gets bigger and bigger and bigger. More and more people move in, and now there's no longer room in the shul. So can the old members say, well, this is not our problem, we built the shul that fit us, let the new members build the expansion on the shul if they want it to be bigger. That shouldn't be our problem to build the expansion on the shul. So Tzemach Tzedek says, no, the old members are just as responsible as the new members to help build the expansion on the shul to accommodate everybody. So he says, if it were just a matter of tzarchei rabim, so then maybe they wouldn't have that obligation. But since it's part of a mitzvah of binyan mikdash, and binyan mikdash is incumbent upon everybody, so then it could be that it would make sense that we could force the old balabatim that lived in that community to build the shul as well. Because you're not allowed to, it's everyone's responsibility to daven together. In general, you're not supposed to make separate shuls unless there's a good reason to do so, despite the fact that Minhag Yisrael seems to be not that way. You're really supposed to have one shul unless there's a good reason to split up. We assume Ravam Hadras Melech. Not only that, in the Tshuvas Galya Masechta, in the Chelik HaDrush, Daf Chav Gimel Beis, he writes that just like we're mechanech the Beis HaMikdash with two Karbanos Toda, we should be mechanech the Beis HaKnesses with Toda. How in the world do you do that? We can't bring a carbon in the Beis HaKnesses. So he said, we know how do we do any carbonos b'zman hazeh. We don't actually bring the carbonos, we speak about the carbonos. So when you darshan at the opening of a new Beis HaKnesses, the rabbi should darshan about carbon toda, because that's how you open up a Beis HaMikdash, that's how you open up a Beis HaKnesses. Furthermore, one of the Tayag mitzvos is to make a simchas chanukas habayis when they finish building the Beis HaMikdash. So if that's the case, maybe there's dafka a special Indian to make a simchas chanukas habayis when they open up a new Beis HaKnesses. Part of the same idea, that Beis HaKnesses reflects Beis HaMikdash. But there are also eight ways that just the structure, the way it's built, is supposed to reflect Beis HaMikdash. Number one, the Tosefta in the third parak of Maseches Megillah writes that ein poschin pischei batei kneisios ela lemizrach, that the doorways to the Beis HaKnesses should always be, it says lemizrach, what it really means is opposite the Aron, that the door to the shul should be in the back of the shul, so that when you walk in, you're facing directly at the Aron Kodesh. That's the halacha psukah in Shulchan Aruch Chaim Sim Kuf Nun Mishbruv Der Sivkatan Yud. So when Rav Salvechik learned this din in his shiurim in the Maria Shul. He pointed out that in the Maria Shul, they used to have the doorway on the side of the shul, not mechuvan keneged Yaron Kodesh, and he said that such a Beis HaKnesses is built shelo kalacha, that ideally the door should be facing the Yaron Kodesh. Why? Because that's the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash, that as you're going in, you're facing toward the Kodesh HaKadashim, you're facing toward the makom of most intense Kedusha. In fact, Rav Salvechik pointed out that when you turn around at the end of L'chadodi for Bo'i Chala, you're turning around to greet the Shabbos Malchus, right? That's based on the Gemara Bava Kama Lamed Beis. So if that's the case, you should turn to the place where people would enter from. So you should really turn to the door, not turn to the back of the shul. Why is it that everyone turns to the back of the shul? Because the way a shul is supposed to be built is that the door is supposed to be in the back of the shul. But if you have doors to the sides, then you should really turn to the door. I remember the old YU Beis Medrash, which is now, I guess, the MTA Beis Medrash. They had the doors were Mizrach, the Aron was Safon, and when it came to Bo'i Chala, it was like a disaster. No one knew what to do. Because some people turned to the door, like Rav Salvechik said. Some people turned to the opposite of the Aron, which is the south. And some people turned to the opposite of Mizrach, which is, right, which is the west. So you had people facing in three different directions. Everyone's bowing to each other. Bo'i Chala, Bo'i Chala. It looked very, very weird. But Rav Salvechik held, you would always turn to the door for the Bo'i Chala, Bo'i Chala. A second comparison, Rashi writes in Maseches Brachos that we're supposed to daven klape the Aron. You're supposed to face the Aron when you daven. And if you daven outside of the shul, you should face backwards toward the Aron, just like in the Beis HaMikdash, we always face the Kodesh HaKadoshim where the Aron was, and wherever you're situated in the world, that's where you face toward the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And I suggest that even though there is a halacha that you're supposed to face Mizrach, you're supposed to face Eretz Yisrael, that halacha is about where you're supposed to be koveya the Aron. That you should put the Aron in a way that everyone who faces the Aron is going to be facing toward Eretz Yisrael. But the real halacha is that once the Aron is there, so wherever you put it, whether you put it in the right place or the wrong place, that you're supposed to face the Aron. This is against the tshuva that the Netziv has in Meshev Dover that I discuss in my Sefer in Hakon Olamo, where and against the majority of poskim that seem to follow the Netziv, that you're supposed to face Eretz Yisrael. But Rav Shechter understands, no, you're supposed to face the Aron. Where you put the Aron ideally should be Klapei Eretz Yisrael, but really the halacha is, the minig is certainly like Rav Shechter, even though on the books, you learn Mishnah Berurah, you learn the Netziv Shuva, certainly on the books it would seem if you go into a shul where the Aron is not in the Mizrach, you should just face whichever way Eretz Yisrael is, but you'll never ever see that done. You've probably been in many shuls where the Aron is not really at Mizrach, and people anyway face the Aron. So Rav Shach says that's actually the correct thing to do, that you're supposed to really face the Aron. A third similarity, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach was Be'emtza, was in the middle. So in Beis HaKnesses, the Bima, where we read the Sefer Torah, which represents the Mizbeach, Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, Shadavka be Be'emtza. That was one of the major changes that the conservative movement made, the reform movement made, is that they moved the Bima to the front of the shul, more like a church, where they're reading out toward the tzibur from the front. So that's not the way it's supposed to be done in the shul. Chassam Sofer was Eish Lahava against such an innovation. A fourth similarity, just like in the Mikdash, there was a separate Ezras Nashim and a separate place for men, so too in the Beis HaKnesses. You need a mechitza that separates between the men and the women. That does not appear in Shulchan Aruch, but it's on the list of things that are clear halacha, even though it does not appear in Shulchan Aruch. A fifth similarity, just like in Beis HaMikdash, there was only one Aron, so too Bate Knesios should only have one Aron. You shouldn't have two Aron Kodeshes. I think Rav Shechter used to point out that in Yeshiva HaKotel, so they have this really cool setup in the front. You ever been to Yeshiva HaKotel? So in the front of the yeshiva, you've been there, right? So in the front of the yeshiva, they have like right in the middle, you could see, there's like a window, so you could see through to the kotel, which means that the Aron, am I correct about this? That the Aron is on both sides, which means there are two Arons. So Rav Shechter thought that was incorrect, that they shouldn't have built it that way, because just like Beis HaMikdash had one Aron, so too a shul should have one Aron. A sixth, rather, a similarity, As a possibility, at least, Rav Shechter suggests, and we pointed this out last time, that just like in the Beis Hamikdash, the Aron is in the Shul and is not outside of the Shul, meaning it's in the Mikdash, not outside of the Mikdash, so too in the Shul, the Aron should be in the Shul. It should not be that they make it flush against the wall where it's recessed in behind the wall as if it's in a separate room, just so that the front of the Shul can be a flat wall. That's not appropriate, although many, many, many Shuls do that as well. Rav Shechter thought, at least B'Torah's Efshar, that would be problematic because it does not exactly mimic the setup of the Beis HaMikdash. A seventh similarity, there is a Shita in Poskim that just like, and he says this is, it's a Shita, it's not necessarily that everyone agrees, that just like the Azara was a rectangular shape or a square squared off shape, so to a shul should be a square or a rectangle, not a circle or a pentagon or any other type of shape. Like if you haven't been to, it's probably not this way anymore. In the old days, Lincoln Square Synagogue, it was always ironic because it's the only synagogue that has square in its name, but it was not a square. It was stadium seating all around. Or like the white shul, you know, there are a lot of shuls that are built that way where they're not a box. So maybe if it's supposed to mimic the Mikdash, it would be better if it were a box. An eighth and final comparison that Rav Meir Arik in his Imre Yosha Chelik Beis Simon Kofayin Ches says that just like you're not allowed to change the tzura of the Beis HaMikdash from the way the Psukim and Divrei Yom describe it, HaKol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem Alei Askil, Pasuk says you're not allowed to change the tzura of the Sotu when the Beis HaKnesset is built, you shouldn't be putting up different structures in the Beis HaKnesset. Rav Meir Arik thought it's therefore problematic to put up a chuppah in a Beis HaKnesses. Again, Minuxim is not that way, but that's what he suggested based on this comparison. But it's not only in the Tzura of the Beis HaKnesses that we find it similar to the Beis HaMikdash, but even in how we behave in the Beis HaKnesses. Things we do in Shul are similar to what we do in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's also on eight different levels. Number one, the Rama writes in Or Chaim Siman Kuf Mem Gimel, in the name of many Rishonim, that you're not allowed to use Esnan Zona Umechir Kelev for building a Beis HaKnesses. So where does the money come from for the fundraising of shul? So if a prostitute decides to give the money for the building of the shul, that would be problematic. Or for a dog kennel owner or something decides to give, so Mechir Kelev, Esnan Zona, should not be used for the building of a shul. Second, Rabbi Kiv Eger in Or Chaim Siman Kuf Nun writes that the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah that if someone plants a tree, Eitz Al HaMizbeach, or anywhere in the Azara, regardless of what kind of tree, whether it's an Ilan Srak or an Ilan Machel, whether it's a fruit-bearing tree or not, he's Chayav Malkus. So Rav David Arma in his parish on the Rambam writes, the same is true by a Beis HaKnesses on a Durabanan level. And Salvechik said that in the Balabatim in Brisk, wanted to plant trees in the Chatzer in front of the Beis HaKnesses, and the Rabbanim in Brisk never allowed them to do it because they were makbid for that Rabbi Kiveger. Rabbi Chaim didn't think it was necessary to be makbid for that Rabbi Kiveger. When Rabbi Chaim took over the Rabbanus in Brisk, he allowed them to have trees in the Chatzer Beis HaKnesses. Again, it seems that people are making on this, that a Beis HaKnesses often will pay for nice landscaping and will have trees that are planted in front of the Beis HaKnesses. A third similarity, many poskim write that you're not allowed to make an Ezros Nashim out of what used to be part of the actual Ezros Gevurim, part of what used to be the Beis HaKnesses itself, because Malan B'Kodesh V'lo Maridin, and the Ezros Nashim has lesser Kedusha than the men's section. Whoa, is that so obvious that an Ezros Nashim has lesser Kedusha than the men's section? No, it's not obvious at all. In fact, there are four Shitos in Poskim, whether an Ezros Nashim has lesser Kedusha. Go figure out how there are four possibilities. If an Ezros Nashim has lesser Kedusha, right, there's yes, there's no. Right? Well, what else is there? The same, okay? What else is there? So, okay, you have to figure it out. Maybe we'll make that time in Allah Hashir this week, what the Kedusha is of an Ezros Nashim. But if it's supposed to mimic the Beis HaMikdash, so certainly the Ezros Nashim had lesser Kedusha than the Azara itself, and therefore, in the Beis HaKnesses, it would be the same. So to turn, you know, sometimes they Yom Noraim, they need more room for women because all the women are going to come. So they'll take parts of the shul that are an Ezros Gevurim and turn it into an Ezros Nashim. Maybe that would be problematic based on this comparison of Salvechik thought that in order to make such a change, it's important that they first section off a piece of the piece that they want to turn into the Ezros Nashim and not use it for anything for a few weeks. So you're turning it from an Ezra's Gevurim just to nothing. And then from nothing, you can make it into an Ezra's Nashon. That's what Rav Shapter writes in Mipnin Erav, although he does not write that over here in he does not write that over here in Eretz Hatzvi. Yeah, so apparently to turn it into nothing, we're just not using it, I understand. It's counterintuitive. You would think that that's worse, right? As a Nashim, it's at least in use, yeah. A fourth similarity, Rav Salvechik explained that when he was in Lita, he never saw that women would bow on Yom Kippur when the Shliach Tzibur would get to the Avoda in Musaf. I don't know why he would have noticed what the women were doing. You know, they were up in the balcony or whatever. But he came to Berlin and he saw for the first time women were bowing also during the Avoda. And he was wondering why that would be the case, right? Why would there be different minhagim about whether women should bow during the Avoda on Yom HaKippurim? So he pointed out that there's a Tosus and Sota and Daf Memon Beza quotes from Yerushalmi that HaKrovim HaYinofim L'Apneim V'Rechokim HaYomer Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Ved. And what Tosus means is that those who were right there would be Mishtachavet and say Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Ved. Those that were at a further distance would not be Mishtachavet. Why? So it must be based on the Nusach of the Tefillah that we have in our Machzorim HaKohanim V'Am Ha'omdim ba'azara ha'yukorim u'mishtach. It's only ha'omdim ba'azara. The krovim are those who are omid ba'azara. So those are the ones who are mishtachaveh. Anyone who's outside the azara is not mishtachaveh. Because the pasuk, when it talks about hishtachavaya by bikurim, it says lefnei Hashem Elokecha, which means dafka in the azara. So even though that's about bikurim, it's not necessarily only about bikurim. It's about the din hishtachavaya in general, that it's only in the azara. The Mishnayos in the 6th and 7th parak of Tamid mentioned many times hishtachava v'yatza, that someone is mishtachava and then he leaves, again implying that hishtachavaya is only in the Mikdash. There is an Isser for a Kohen to be Nichnas to the Heichal, Shalola Avoda, for a Kohen to just be a Reikonis, they call it, to walk in, to not do anything. Just walk into the Heichal. It's an Isser. The Rambam, the second paragraph of B'yas Mikdash, Shalach Adala, the Kesef Mishnah, talk about what if a person, a Kohen, walks in to be Mishtachada? Is that a Bia Reikonis? So does he get Malkus or not? So what's the issue? Is Hishtachavaya is definitely a Kiyum Bifnim, but it may not be an Avoda Bifnim. But bottom line is, what you do see is that Hishtachavaya is related to the Azara. That might be the basis of the Minag, that only the men do Hishtachavaya, because the where the men sit is Keneged the Azara, the women sit is Keneged the Ezras Nashim. In the Ezras Nashim, there was no Hishtachavaya. So that might be the basis for that Minag. A fifth similarity, how much Kedusha does the area, the roof over the base HaKnesses have? Say you have the main sanctuary on the bottom floor. What can go on the top floor? So the Mechaber in Aruch Chaim, Simon Kufnan Aleph, writes that he's not sure about Aliyos Shal Gabe Bate Knesios, whether you're allowed to do other Tashmishe Chol on top of the base HaKnesses, as long as it's a Tashmish that's not Shal Gnai. Meaning, do we consider Kedushas base HaKnesses like the Heichal, where the Aliyos are Niskadshu, or do we consider it like the rest of the Azara, that Gagan Valios are Lo Niskadshu? The Rambam distinguishes in the Tshuva between the area right above the Aron Kodesh, which is Niskadesh, that's like the Heichal, and the area over the rest of the shul, which is like the Aliyos of the Azara, which are not Niskadshu. That might be one of the reasons, going back to what we were talking about before, about the Aron being recessed against the wall. It's like its own separate room. It's like its own built-out section, so that there won't be anything above it. Very often, above the rest of the shul, there is something. There are youth rooms or whatever, but it may be an advantage of having a separate built-out area for the Aron. In our temporary shul that we're going to have, we're moving in a couple of weeks. In my shul, they just built out a cutout for the Aron, which they didn't ask me about. I probably would have told them not to do it, but they built out a cutout for the Aron. So I guess that would be one advantage of having it, even though we already discussed the disadvantage. A sixth similarity. In Bir Agra, in Aruch Chaim Simin Tav Reish Samach, he writes that in Chag HaSukkos, the minhag is that we go around the Bima carrying the Dalet Minim, one of the Sefer Torah is right by the Bima. Why? Because the Sefer Torah by the Bima has a din of a Mizbeach. It's supposed to commemorate the Mizbeach. And in the Mikdash, we go around the Mizbeach. A seventh, similarity. The Meiri in Sukkah Mem Dalet writes, Bizman Azeh, we do Chibut Arava ala Kli o ala Karka. But some chassidim are noeg to do chibud arava, to bang the arava bundle, ala duchan al dlaso sa'aron. Why? Why would you dafka go to the bima and start banging it there, or on the elevation, the platform in front of the aron? Maybe because they hold that that has more of a din of the mizbeach, and that since the chibud arava was by the mizbeach, so maybe that's why they did it. Rav Salvechik said his grandfather used to go on Hashanah Rabbah, first take his arava bundle and lean it up on right next to the shulchan of the shul, right next to the beam of the shul, and then take it and do chibud arava, because the zechel amigdash, they had the aravos leaning up on the mizbeach, and then they would do the chibud arava. And a final comparison, we'll close with this. Tosus and Brachos Taf Nundal and Beis writes that the minig is that when one has to say Birchas HaGomel, you do it after Kriyas HaTorah. So the Netziv in Meshev Dover, or Chaim Simen Tezvav, writes that Lo Nishalonim in a Mikdash Rak HaTorah Azos. We don't have a Mikdash anymore, we only have the Torah. When the Sefer Torah is on the Bima takes on the status of Mizbeach. So the Birchas HaGomel is really in place of a Karban Todah. Where do you bring Karban Todah? On the Mizbeach. So that's why you dafka say the Birchas HaGomel when the Bima becomes a Mizbeach. Because you ever think about it, what does Birchas HaGomel have to do with Kriyas HaTorah? We always say Birchas HaGomel right by Kriyas HaTorah. Rav Moshe writes, that's why Rav Moshe says that he said that's why women very often have the minhag not to say Birchas HaGomel, because if it's done by Kriyas HaTorah, so he writes by Baruch Shepetrani. He says that's why we don't say Baruch Shepetrani on the Bas Mitzvah. Because I quote this in my sefer also, because by a bas mitzvah, typically Baruch Shepetrani said by a sefer Torah. And anytime the minhag is developed to say by a sefer Torah, even if there's no good reason why it should be said by a sefer Torah, so women aren't in that context where they're going to be by Kriyas HaTorah. So maybe it must be they were never masakin to do it for women. That's Rav Meisha Svara. And that someone sent me a note, got my sefer, he enjoyed the Sefer, but he doesn't understand why I dedicated 3 or 4 pages discussing why we don't say Baruch Shepetrani on the Bas Mitzvah, by a Bas Mitzvah, only by a Bar Mitzvah. Why would you dedicate space to this? Rav Meisha already paskened, we don't say it. You know, Kach Hora Hagoyin Rav Meisha, and therefore there's nothing to discuss. I don't know, I think we, all the time, we have what Ramesha says, and we discuss why he said, and what other poskim say, and what the other reasons. I don't know why this was such a, you know, Ramesha said, so we can't discuss anybody else's reason. But anyway, these are some of the similarities between the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaKnesses. Yeah.